Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Halfway done. Let's go to Jace next in Augusta. Hello, Jace.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to touch base. Jim talks about he's such an athlete. I kind of wanted to call and talk about my son in his high school years.
Okay.
He was a junior at Childs High School in Tallahassee, Florida. And his opponent's batting average was .113 that year against him. His senior year, he was a little bit off. The opponents hit .142 against him his senior year. And we were going to go the JUCO route because, I mean, that was a full ride, you know, as far as JUCO goes. And then, unfortunately, he had a bad car accident right before he graduated high school. And, that didn't happen. But Florida State wanted him to go to JUCO for 2 years, and they pitched for them. It didn't happen. He's 36 years old now, and he gave me, three beautiful grandchildren. But, Jim, that is what a athlete is in high school, dude. So you can't touch that.
Well, thank you very much,
Paul.
Jace, for sharing that story. And what a great story about your son that you shared with us. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Great show today. I've started mowing, but a thunder shower come up, and I've had to come in, but haven't missed anything. I've been listening to you on the radio. Until yesterday, Legend hadn't called in a while, and when he did call, and him and Jim got into it, he said he wasn't addicted to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Did that hurt your feelings like it did mine?
No, I try not to take things too seriously here.
Well, I will never take another Legend. I'll never take another Legend phone call for granted. So if he needs help, for anybody to sing in the choir or something at his ash gathering, count me in. So let him know.
Thank you, Will. Appreciate the enlightenment. Tommy is up next. Hello, Tommy. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'm going to make it short, sweet. Jim said he played in a pony league.
That's what he said.
Yesterday?
That's a very high, highly respected.
Not really. I'm almost 70.
Okay.
Pony League was already over with, but by the time I got to, it was Babe Ruth League, it was like 13, 14, 15-year-olds, then you went into high school. So Jim kind of gave himself away a little bit there, I think, Like I said, I'll be 70 in January, so he's not quite as young as he'd like people to think
he
is.
I thought there were still some variations of the Pony League right now. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. In Alabama, and I live in Prattville, they quit Pony League and went. It was like Babe Ruth League. I thought Pony League was over with because there was nothing even taught,
Well, listen, it may have been, but I can't answer that. I remember the Pony League,
yeah.
but then again, I'm almost in your age group. Thanks for the call. Jim is up next. Maybe he can
Paul, I didn't even know he was going to say what he said, but I wanted to respond to Jace, the guy that's hated me also for about 6 months or whatever. You don't know me, Jace. You know nothing about me. That call you made a while ago was uncalled for. You don't know a damn thing about me. I don't care what your son did. Your son might have been a great guy. He might still be a great guy in spite of you, Jace. But that was uncalled for because you know nothing about me. Now, let me straighten this out about the Pony League, Paul. I was the first person ever in the history of Tuscaloosa playing Pony League ball. It was 13 to 15-year-old league that year. And at 15, I was selected by the coach of the American Legion Post 34, first in history to be that selected that young to go and play for Post 34. And that's when I got my arm cut the next year playing for Post 34. That's the record. You can search that out. It's on the record. I don't give a damn what these scumbags say. They all hate me, Paul. But you know what? It's going to come out all right because I know where I end up. I know how the end comes out. I know God has got me where I ought to be, and that's with the truth. With the truth. And these scumbags, and they are scumbags, are stinking low-life, jealous liars. That's all they are. I don't give a damn what they think. They're wrong. They will be proven, even if it takes getting to heaven or at the judgment day. They'll know they're wrong, no doubt about it. And scumbags, jealous scumbags like Squirrel, Rodent Squirrel, your favorite clever caller. I know he's your favorite, but I don't give a. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I am. You wrote in the book. I believe you wrote the truth. I believe you meant that when you wrote the truth. That's all. Anyway, I'm just saying that's the record, Paul. And I don't care what these, I'm learning right now, don't give a skinking crap what these lying, devilish, clever, cunning fools think of me. They think, they got no sense whatsoever. But the good people like Chris and Tim Brando and Danny Sheridan, I know they respect me. I know that. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Thank you very much. He did not mention Johnny B. in that list of people that he respects.
He still got my damn size 13 Merrill up his ass. And until I get it back, he better not mention my name because he ain't got over that ass beating I give him on that phone feud. He don't mention. He keeps Johnny B's name out of his mouth. Whoa,
Johnny B. How long ago was that? It seems like it was yesterday.
Oh, it does. It feels like it was yesterday. Every time he comes on, my blood pressure gets up. And I look at that one boot sitting over there, and I think I need to find somebody to give that to because it's obvious either it's so far up there or it's so damaged, I'll never get my boot back. You know, you ever feel that way about something? Boy, it makes me mad.
Yeah, I feel that way every time Chris from South Carolina calls in.
Bubba brought up a great, point today about the inflatable sumos for AJ and John to get in. It reminded me, Chris in South Carolina had a cookout the other day and invited me up. We were sitting there eating, and I looked over there, and there was an inflatable pig and a sheep and a goat. And I said, what in the world is that right there? And he said, shh, ain't nobody listening. He said, them South Carolina sex dogs, Johnny B. He said, you, that's what we do up here. And I was like, man, you need to keep that stuff to yourself. You don't need to tell that out on the radio and everything. But that's another thing. And then, Trey, I want to give you a lot of credit. Yesterday, you came out with a Brangelina thing, the Jimalgi thing. I figured it out. They're conjoined twins. They're joined at the butt. And every time they eat, that's how they get so full of crap. And that's why they spew that mess, and nobody can stand to listen to it, just like that crap he just come on here saying then. His records must have been based upon what I'm figuring, what he says, he may have set all these records overseas in England. The bad dental hygiene and the equipment that couldn't capture his photographic accolades. Jim, you something else. My granddaughter played yesterday at a softball game, went 4-4, made three great plays from third, and when we were leaving, this guy come over and he said, are y'all any relation to Jim from Tuscaloosa? And I said, who? He said, the Pony League legend. He'll tell you about it. Just listen to him. Y'all have a good evening, Paul.
Sparks is up next. Hello, Sparks. Hey, Sparks, you there?
Hey, Scotty. Yeah, what's your name, Jim? story.
What if we actually overheard something really important? Hey, Sparks, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Hi.
Is there something we could help you with, Sparks?
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Oh, I'm blind, man. I dropped that phone in.
Yeah. I do it all the time.
Yeah. You cut me off for a day of Fridays. Well, I said, Dan Ayers, I'm going to say that 1 year with Jason Hurts. I mean, 1 year he done good with Jason Hurts. I tell
you. I actually cut you off. I must have been foolish.
Yeah, Friday, yeah.
To interrupt a great call like that must have been, or this could be.
Oh, yeah. Man, you know, the natives are about it today.
Yes, sir.
March Madness, they're ready to go.
Did I miss March Madness, Sparks?
Just started.
Oh, okay.
I know they start early.
Yeah. Who you like to go all the way?
I don't know. Legends get kind of lame. I don't know. I might throw my hat in there. I know more sports than anything than anybody
Sparks,
in there. Probably.
Hold on.
Oh,
you say you know more than any person?
As much as any person.
What team do you follow the most?
The Alabama Crimson Tide. Who else? Everything.
How far back do you go?
I ain't old as you. I'll be 65 in November.
So you go back to Bryant.
My grandpa said he'd carry me around. He'd say, number 12. He asked me who it was, and I said, Joe's name. I'd heard his name the other day, Paul. I ain't heard it in 40 years. Herb Winches.
He was a great player,
too. Yeah, you remember him?
Of course I remember.
Yeah, I heard his name. I thought, who's dead?
No. Herb is actually alive and doing great. I spoke to him
not long ago. That's good.
He's
I had to throw this in, all these Bible verses. He who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Praise the Lord. Roll Tide! Thank you, Paul.
Roll Tide, Sparks. Thank you for enlightening us all. We'll take a break here. And hopefully come back with much, much more.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Was it Noah who sounded a little bit like Joey? Could it be the same person? Joey, did you just call us a minute ago?
Man, you better watch your mouth. No, I did not.
Okay. Did you hear that guy that called in a minute ago?
Yeah, I heard him.
You sounded similar to him.
Hey, Paul. All I want to ask you, this analyst come on there or whatever he was, he talked about Ole Miss. You know how many games Lane Tiffin choked last year that he should have won?
I can think of one.
I mean, you think he's going to choke this time? He should have beat Alabama.
I agree.
I mean, he really should have. He had me scared to death, but I knew he was going to throw some popcorn out there and choke it. Well, anyway, what about this softball, this women's softball coming up tonight? Who you got going to win it all?
You tell me, Joey.
Well, Lola, I hate to say it. It's probably your damn anniversary, Tennessee.
Yeah, they do look good.
Yeah, I've watched them, and they badass. Excuse my language.
That's what I'm worried about.
I don't want them to win, but, hey, one other thing.
Okay.
You ready to get back in that coffin and do that thing that you did when we played Tennessee?
Next time I'm in I get in a coffin, I'll be dead.
I don't want that. You don't need to get in a coffin.
Hey, by the way, if I happen to die, Joey, would you think we can get Joey to come to you and Manor come drop by the funeral home?
I don't even like talking like that.
Okay. I was just trying to get a commitment out of Manna.
You want to talk to her?
Yeah, I do.
She's right here.
Okay, I'll be nice.
All right. No, don't say nothing gray here.
No.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Manna.
Hi, how are you?
We are so glad to have you back on the show.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad to be back.
And I want to apologize to you, Manna, because I've asked Joey some things about you, not out of any other reason than being curious.
You have no need to explain yourself, I understand, because most people would say that. You know, I had one person come in one time that never been here. You know, I'm kind of like a small circle, and said, I'll be damned, your house don't stink with all your animals.
Well, we were just interested, and I probably, I'm a curious person. I used to be a reporter, so I'm always trying to find out more about people, so I probably went down the wrong road with Joey, but I think Joey's a great guy.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I'm glad to hear your voice.
So what else is going on around the house with the animals?
Well, they're still due, and I've got three parakeets I'm nursing due to the mother being a young mother.
Right.
So I hear myself. Anyway, so that's a little tedious right there, but everything's going good. Everybody's good.
Well, good, man. And we just wanted to say hello and wish you well. And by the way, with all these, I hope you have a good Mother's Day on Sunday.
Tell your wife. I hope she does too as well. Have a good evening. Bye bye.
Thank you very much. Here. See, Joey, that wasn't too bad, was it?
No, it wasn't. You done good.
Hey, listen,
I appreciate it.
I know how to
you
talk to a
woman.
You kept
me out of the fire.
Yeah, I mean, I
you kept me out of the fire.
I made a vow to you that no more. I'm not taking you down that dark and lonely road.
Yeah, you and Squirrel throwed me in there for about a couple of weeks. I didn't think I was ever going to get out.
No, you're done. Just
I appreciate that, Paul.
Okay,
I'll let you go and sit back and enjoy the song.
Thank you, Joey. I feel better, don't you? I feel like I'd take it. I mean, with that story about meeting her at the bar and all that. Okay. AC is up next. Hello, AC.
How are you feeling, Mr. Feinbaum? Thank you.
We are doing great. Thank you.
Absolutely, sir. You know, let me tell you something. May 12th, this Sunday, is Mother's Day. Do you know what happened May 12th, 2023, on Friday? Do you remember what happened?
No, I don't.
I smashed Totter and Rich. Come on, man. You know what I did to those boys? I called them up. I smashed them like I said I would do.
Oh, Tetra and Rich. Yeah. By the way, you know, they're not even together anymore. Did you know that?
Well, I guess I broke them apart. I told you I'm going to break their spirit. It looks like I just did, right?
You did. Way to go. Congratulations.
I certainly did. Now, here's the thing, Mr. Feinbaum. You know, last night, Jim officially entered the dark side. Just like I said, Jim, you should and you did. This is why I love you, bro. I want people to be in the dark side. You know, you got this guy named Chris in South Carolina I addressed in last week. Did he say he's going to take over Legina's championship of the bracket contest? Did I hear that right? Next year, that's what he's going to do? That's what he said, right?
Correct.
Well, let me you know, he would never get it. Didn't I? Probably he's not listening to the show. The contest itself, Chrissy, it's rigged. Get a 3-3 CAD. I mean, let's face it. Clemson's not going to go anywhere. And you got those expire, all those garbage like AJ. You guys are bottom dwellers. This is who you are. You know, AJ, he says AC. Then he takes a breather. Let me tell you why he's taking a breather. Because he's sucking my balls. Holla.
Okay, we'll take a break here. We have a lot to do. Ari Wasserman, respected journalist, will join us next.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
From The Athletic, another post-spring top 25. Most, if not all, have Georgia number one, but not this one. Ari Wasserman knows a lot about that Ohio State program. He once covered them. He has the Buckeyes number one, Georgia. It's all relative. Notre Dame number five. That's got a lot of attention. Miami number 10. By far the most intriguing top 25. Usually they're like just AI conducted them. Ari, thanks for the time. Appreciate it very much. This is interesting. I'm going to get out of your way. I want to hear why Ohio State, and later we'll get to Notre Dame and Miami.
Yeah, let me first say, Paul, this is the first time I've ever tried to do this outside of voting in the AP poll. In the middle of the, it's really hard. And I really try to take time to get familiar with rosters and stuff, and you know, with the spring portal window now, like, you have to revisit it more than one time. You can't just kind of figure out where the team's going to be like, you know, in January. You have to wait until May and sometimes even June to figure out, like, what the final product of that team's going to look like. And my rationale for Ohio State, more than anything, is the fact that I think that they could have 5 or 6 first-round draft picks next year, and that doesn't include any of the guys that they added to their roster in the offseason. There's been no team that has improved their roster more, maybe Ole Miss, you know, if you want to go down that road, but certainly in the same conversation, while returning a vast majority of their production from a year ago. Now, if you want to tell me that Georgia is the number one team in college football, like, again, I'm not going to stand in front of you and be like, there's no way that's true. But when I approached it this way, I kind of went from who's on the team, who are the proven commodities that we know of. And Ohio State is loaded at just about every position. So for me, you know, based on past notions and what teams have done and all these things, like, on one hand, Ohio State, if you look at the past 10 years, has been one of the most underachieving programs in college football with what they've had on their roster. But I didn't hold that against them. It's about what you have. And, you know, when you move forward, they've got a lot there to go out and win a national championship this year. Now, do I think they might, like, Georgia's got just as good of a chance, if not better? I mean, probably. But this is just kind of where the roster stacks up for me right now.
Ari, the other one that really caught my eye, Notre Dame. Explain.
Notre Dame is very interesting to me, and I've been probably one of the more critical people against Notre Dame in the past, and the reason for that has been that they've always been a very good team or a solid team, but they've never been on the same plane as a Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, you know, recruiting juggernaut wise, which we talk about a lot when I'm on the on your show. But when you take a look at what they have on their team, especially defensively, they have an opportunity to have maybe the best defense in college football this year. They added Riley Leonard to the quarterback position, and he's been hurt and inconsistent at times, but could be the best rushing quarterback in the country. They've added offensive coordinator Mike Denbrock from LSU back onto the staff. They've addressed their weak receiver situation by adding Chris Mitchell and Bo Collins. When I look at this team, I see a pretty complete team with a very easy schedule. And I think right now, too, if you go look at the Vegas odds, they are a very heavy favorite to make the playoff this year. Now, that doesn't mean the same thing as it did a year ago, but I do think that there's a chance and probably a high likelihood that this team goes on and wins 11 games this year.
Finally, number 10, the school that every year we think is coming back and always fails us in some epic, unbelievable way, Miami. What's up?
Yeah, so last year I wrote a column a few months before the season started explaining why I thought Texas was going to win the national championship or make the playoff, I should say. I thought they had a very good chance of winning the national title last year. And all I heard was Sarkisian has never won 10 games before. Texas loses games they shouldn't all the time. They always choke. They're choke artists. They're perpetually in this state of mediocrity despite having deep, talented rosters. And eventually they broke through, right? So as I made this list, when you look at the portal additions and the roster that Miami has assembled both up front on the lines on both sides of the ball, upgrading drastically at the quarterback position, and all these wins that they've had, like from a roster standpoint, I don't think that 10 is a weird place to put them. Now, when you're making an offseason top 25, and I'd be very curious to know what you think about this, Paul, because I respect you very much. Do you hold past failures against a current team? Like, do I think that Miami is going to come up short? Do I question Mario Cristobal's game day acumen at times? Of course I do. I watch the sport the same way that everybody else does. But is it fair to the new players on this team to rank them 17 or 18 because past Miami teams have stunk when they shouldn't have? Or do you put them based on what their roster says they should be? Like, that's what I struggle with the most in doing this. Because I heard from every direction all day, Miami always chokes. They stink. They never reach their potential. Here we go again. Off-season hype. It's like, yes, I know. But what is the accurate way to rank this team? I didn't put them 4 or 3 or 2. I think 10 is a very reasonable place to put a team that has a roster as good as they do. Now, can they put it together? You know, if I knew the answer to that question without a shadow of a doubt, I'd be living in Laguna Beach right now. But, you know, based on what they have here, I think 10 is very reasonable.
No, Ari, I'm glad to hear you say that, because I think too often when we do these top 25s, we just we play the chalk, and you know, it's easy and it's safe, but it shows no imagination. Speaking of imagination, I have to detour here for a second. I'm going through something earlier today. I'm reading your article in the New York Times, where a lot of the athletic articles appear, and I about fell over. You profiled a 5'6", 160-pound walk-on at Texas A&M, who is pictured with tefillin on his left arm and is an Orthodox Jew. And I swear I met this kid somewhere and had a conversation with him, when I was out there, and did not realize what was going on. But explain how you heard about this story and just how utterly bizarre it really is.
Yeah, front page of the New York Times sports section today. He came up on my Twitter timeline. I'm Jewish, and I noticed it, and maybe it's because I follow other Jewish people. I don't know. But I saw him with his yarmulke and his tzitzit on the sideline last year. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Like, what? I mean, it's not just the religious aspect. It's the size of the kid. He's 5'6", 160, soaking wet. So he popped up on my timeline a few times, and I went to his profile, and I followed him. And a few months went by, and I'm like, you know what? I want to figure out how this kid got on the team. So I messaged him, and I got in contact with the with the support staff there at A&M, and I went down to College Station in February and met with him. And, you know, the story's been out now for a few days, so we're talking about a kid with perseverance. Now, he's an Orthodox Jewish, of the Orthodox Jewish faith, so he recognizes the Sabbath, which is on Saturday, and he'll never be able to play in a day game just because of religious limitations there on Shabbat. You don't work, you don't do anything except, you know, commune with your community and God. So the only opportunity for him to ever even get into a game would be if he shows up at the end or the beginning of the fourth quarter on a night game on a Saturday. So he has put his body through a tremendous amount of sacrifice just to be on the team, to prove to other Orthodox Jews and Jewish people that you can achieve things despite the limitations that you face if you're an observing Orthodox Jewish person. So he went to radio shows to meet Jimbo Fisher when he first got to College Station. Then he showed up to the field adjacent to where Texas A&M practiced, showed up an hour before, worked out independently, and stayed until an hour after they were done practicing. He kept going to the radio show. And he went to a practice, wrote down drills. This is a kid that never even played high school football and just showed up every single day. And during a 4 or 5 game losing streak 2 years ago, Jimbo Fisher and support staff, chief of operations, I think Mark Robinson, opted to bring him onto the team. Not because I think that they think he's ever going to play. I mean, he can't even play in day games on Saturdays. But to kind of reinforce what hard work, dedication, and loyalty and all the things that you expect and hope out of your roster bring. And he works his tail off every single day, goes through the weight routine. He's in scout team. And, you know, I don't know that he'll ever play a snap at A&M, but I thought his story was a testament to perseverance and certainly out of the realm of what we normally see in the sport.
Ari, I say this in full disclosure. I was out there last year. I think it was Sukkot, the Jewish holiday right after the Yom Kippur, and it was on a Friday afternoon. And this guy walked up, and we started talking. He said, "Will you be here?" I said, "Yeah, we're about to do our show." And he came back with some Jewish challah bread, and he told me he played on the football team. And quite frankly, I didn't believe him because why would I believe this little? You described him. He's 5'6". And I mean, I never thought about it again until I saw your story today. I'm like going, oh my goodness. It's really remarkable.
Well, I can get you his number, Paul, if you want to call and reach out and express anything.
I never thanked him for bringing me the bread because I didn't quite frankly believe he was actually a football player.
Yeah, no, and I'm sure he wasn't at the time. I think that he told me this during the reporting, by the way,
okay,
that he's tried to reach out to people. And the thing that I'll say about his story, you know, it's not so much about a guy who's going to go out and score 10 touchdowns for an A&M this year, but I think it's an interesting story about life. And if you set your mind to something and put yourself in a position to put the work in and show up every day, make human connection and do your best to be seen, that good things are going to happen. And, you know, every single day this kid showed up in the sweltering heat or the freezing cold and did independent drills despite knowing nothing about football. And unbeknownst to him, the practice field that he used, you could see straight from Jimbo Fisher's office in the side of Kyle Field. And those coaches and the people that he saw at the radio show and the players that he met outside the practices and everything that he did amounted to this accomplishment. And who knows, maybe one day he'll get into the game.
Ari, do I sense Hollywood calling you for Rudy too?
They'll have to. Well, it's funny, he's never seen Rudy, which I think is hilarious. Maybe one day they'll have to contact the New York Times. I don't own my stories once they go up.
Okay. I can hook you up with the right guy, and you can buy them back. Ari, yeah. Great story. It was so much, so amazing. I encourage people to read this in The Athletic. I mean, it's and I as much as I hate to give Jimbo Fisher credit, I mean, he really did make this happen.
I tried to talk to Jimbo for the story. I couldn't get a hold of him.
Well, probably on an island somewhere that he's considering purchasing. Ari,
that's where I'd be.
Great to have you on. Always a pleasure. Ari Wasserman, what an amazing conversation. We will take a short break. We are back right after this.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back, and Todd is calling next. Hey, Todd, good afternoon.
Hey, good evening, Paul. Hey, listen here, I'd go show you what prayer will do. You remember Logan's call yesterday, and he said he's going to heaven?
Right.
Boy, I appreciate it, and it ain't nothing to do with me, and I hope God keeps giving an itch, giving him an itch that needs scratching, and I hope he gets him a good woman. We kind of know Logan's got a little something going on. He's got some scruples because he jumped up and moved from North Carolina to Dothan down there, so he's good with his company or something, so he's got it going on. So I prayed last night God would give him a good woman and keep on working with Logan. But, Paul, you done said this thing, and you keep bringing up Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin. Do you want to give Legend a heart attack?
I would rather not give anyone a heart attack. But
a heart attack, right. But look, do you think that Ole Miss could win a national championship with Pete Golden?
I am of the opinion that Golden wasn't the root of the problem at Alabama. There were other extenuating circumstances.
Okay. Oh, let me say this, Paul. And this is for Augie, Chris, and Jeff. Says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Righteousness and wickedness have nothing in common. What fellowship can light have with darkness? Paul, and what flows out of your heart is what flows, what's in your heart normally flows out of your mouth. And let me tell you something. Nobody has the right to convict anybody to death or hell. And in my heart, Legend is saved. And I didn't appreciate somebody saying he wasn't. But anyway, Paul, that's all I got. Thank my call, brother. Love you, man. Roll Tide.
Jace is up next in Augusta.
Yeah, Paul, I wanted to respond to Jim, the geriatric one in the wheelchair. I don't doubt what Jim said that he did. All I said was he could not hold my son's jock strap whenever he was in high school. You know, I don't know why Jim gets on here and gets so upset, and he's living in the past. He's all about page 54 in your book. And, he brings nothing to the show anymore. I mean, he just goes off on tangents. He went off on me for no damn reason other than I was just talking about, my son.
Yeah, and Jace, I really appreciated your story. Forget Jim for a second. I thought you talked about the greatness of a young man, his potential, the love of a father, and what you can do with life other than athletics. So I appreciate that. And if Jim didn't like it, then that's entirely up to Jim. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. What a great call from Braxton today. I mean, you can tell it's not scripted. You know, he lets you know his opinion, and then he asks you questions, and y'all have a great conversation. So I just think Braxton is a great caller.
No, he's become Paul, my favorite 13-year-old on the show.
You got that right. You can tell the difference in the calls, can you not?
Absolutely.
Okay, Paul, Jim said he played in the Pony League and then got drafted. Is that what I understood?
That is correct.
Okay, Paul, the Pony League is a 7-inning game or an hour and 45 minutes, and it stands for Protect Our Nation's Youth, and it began in the 1950s in Pennsylvania, and it spread across the nation within the next 10 years. And the Pony League is for 14 and under. So I guess Jim got drafted at 14. That's what he's trying to tell us. But you know, Paul, I did find a highlight film of Jim playing Pony League ball, and I know who he is, because he was a great actor in this movie. And it is Lupus from the Bad News Bears. I mean, that is what he reminds me of. But anyway, and another thing, Paul, what does the word foo mean? I mean, he calls everybody a foo. What is a foo, Paul?
Now let me make sure, Randy, help me. You're saying a foo?
Yeah, well, that's what Jim says when he calls.
Like Egg Foo Young at the Chinese restaurant? Like the Foo Fighters?
I don't know how to spell foo. F-O-O? I don't know, but that's what he says.
You like the Foo
Fighters? Foo.
They're good.
Yeah, the Foo Fighters. Yeah, that's a band. Yeah,
maybe that's what he's talking about. I mean, he's a Foo Fighters fan.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what he says. He calls everybody a foo. So I'm just wondering what a foo is. Is that a Foo Fighter?
Yeah, it's drummer, yeah.
Yeah. So
you're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.